Welcome back to this week's installment of Expand Your Mind and Be Kind. Thanks for joining Ryan and I on our adventure, and I hope everyone enjoys our episode. Thank you.
Today's quote is from Niccolo Machiavelli. There is nothing more difficult to take in hand, more perilous to conduct, or more uncertain in its success than to take the lead in the introduction of a new order of things.
Hello there.
It's Jimbo Slice.
It's Rod Izzo, Mon Izzo, for Rizzo, for Shizzle.
Smoke weed every day. Well, it's been a hot minute since we've recorded an episode.
I know. Our schedules have just not lined up.
Yeah, well, we are very excited to bring everyone a new episode this week. And this week's topic is how to tame wild squirrels. This is how you do it. You go out on your deck and you spread your arms out like you're a bird stand, and then you cover your body in molasses and bird seed, and you will either be attacked by wild animals or they will become your friends, or both.
Or you'll just be covered with birds. Yeah. And they'll like stick to you because the molasses is so sticky that you'll just be Birdman.
Exactly. All right. Well, that was a good episode.
Thanks for joining.
And on a serious note, we thought, given the current environment and dynamics of vaccinations and things, that we are on track to, I don't want to jinx it, but would dare to guess and hope that by the end of 2021, we will be back to some semblance of being able to do some of the things we used to be able to do, like meet in public and not have to wear a mask and be able to eat in restaurants and things like that.
And concerts hopefully might start making a comeback.
Some concerts and those different kinds of things. So Jim, what other than the obvious things that, you know, not being able to spend time with people that you want to spend time with and doing some activities that you haven't really been able to do that you would like to, like go to concerts, what's something that you've missed since COVID has started and even up to this point?
I think for me, probably the two biggest things are going out to restaurants. I feel like it's something that we used to do quite a bit, you know. It was a joy of life, was eating out, drinking out, having a rare good old time, and also concerts. I miss live music, and I can only imagine like how hard, it's been hard on different groups of people more than others, but I feel like especially musical artists, you know, especially the ones that really relied on the live tours.
Oh yeah, I feel like they have a better opportunity now because of all the availability to put out virtual shows on YouTube and different things like that. They may not be making as much money as they were before, but they still have the ability to stay connected to their audience at some capacity. Whereas, you know, before 20 or 30 years before now, that really wouldn't have been an option.
Right.
So that's cool. And, but I agree with you. That's definitely a challenge.
Well, and it's going to be interesting to see, because COVID is not like we're going to eradicate it and go back to the old norm, as, you know, some people would hope. It is an endemic disease. So a disease like the influenza virus that is just naturally in the communities and floating around, and there'll be parts of the year where it's more has more effect, and other parts of the year where people don't take much notice of it. But it's really interesting to see where the world lies in a time where COVID is, oh, it's COVID season. I guess we're not going to do as much as we used to right now. You
So
know?
why do you think COVID is different than other coronaviruses, though? Because I mean, like SARS and some of the other ones in the past, they came and went, and I'm sure you can still get them, but it's not nearly as
They're
much.
not.
Do you think it's just basically the nature of this kind of strain of coronavirus?
Yeah. And so coronavirus is actually a SARS virus. But yeah, you knew
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
Right.
But if anyone didn't know, so the what makes it stands it apart from its, relative viruses is the infectivity of it is so much higher than any SARS virus we've seen to date. And because it is so infectious, it's almost impossible to ever fully eradicate. All it needs is just a handful of people to keep a presence in a community. And it'll probably go around the world in waves as time goes on, and but in lesser degrees, hopefully more in like a influenza kind of way, where we get our yearly COVID shot, and we know that for example, like September through February, it's going to be more cases than usual, but it'll just be like going about business as usual with COVID.
Sure.
So my question to you, Ryan, is like, where do you think we as like a culture is heading to kind of answer to live in that world where COVID is endemic in our communities?
Well, I can't really speak to exactly what we will do, but I can say what I think could happen and what I think would be beneficial for us to do is to embrace community. I think we live in communities online in a lot of respects, but I mean, we saw in the last administration that it was basically just fend for yourself. And so that really emphasized the focus on having strong local community presence. I mean, if you got sick and you didn't have anybody that lived close to you, your neighbors are kind of your last bastion of hope in a lot of
Right.
respects. And so I think what COVID has done is it's given us an opportunity to reflect on how connected we are to people in our community. And I think that would be cool to keep around.
Yeah.
And I think there should be and there can be a refocusing on caring for people that are in kind of more exposed or vulnerable positions to get sick, but more importantly, like our elder community, our elder population has been more outweighed effects from COVID than any other population in the country, and I think across the world. Is that a lot of nursing homes and a lot of care homes have had the highest rates of COVID, and just understanding what we can do to do better prevention and control in those settings. I know that there are all sorts of constraints around the people that work in those facilities. I know you've had experience working in that setting, so I feel like there should be more resources dedicated to increasing the quality of life for people that are in more vulnerable positions too. And I think that if that hasn't been done yet, I think that's been exposed.
Right. And I think it's interesting, kind of to the more of the more like whole taking a step back from the whole situation. I think it's kind of cool how our world has kind of had a more sense of community, not just like our local on the local level, like kind of on the macro level. Countries, you know, had a lot of they banded together in a lot of ways. It's like especially Europe and I mean it should even, like I would say like all most for first world countries in this world work together to stop the spread and work on vaccine programs. And it was that's cool to see. And I think that hopefully that will bring us together as a as an earth a little more in the future.
Sure. Yeah. Totally agree
But
with that. Yeah.
I feel like initially it was kind of an everybody for yourself when it kind of was it got really bad, but
I think it really sh displayed how important leadership is too.
oh yeah.
And not to rag too much on the previous administration, but I think you don't really see how good people are until things get really bad. And it was kind of, not kind of, it was exposed that certain people were very self-interested and didn't really care, or show that they cared about the people that they were serving. And ultimately, public service is caring for the people that you're serving. That goes for, I would say that goes for any job, regardless of what industry you're in. You're ultimately in service of someone. But it, as a public servant, you basically are taking an oath to serve your community, whether that's your local community, your regional or national community. And so to see that people wanted somebody who was an outsider to Washington and all these different kinds of things, and really said whatever they wanted and did whatever they wanted, and was a business person and all that kind of stuff. It's just it shows how important experience is in dealing with things like this, and people that are competent at their jobs, and all of that kind of came to a head. We saw this last year. But I just wonder how different things, and we can speculate all we want, but I do spend it have spent at least a little bit of time thinking how could things have been so much better if we would have just had something like some sort of plan or direction or leadership at any capacity.
I that is a very good speculation. Like, yeah, I think it would have looked a lot different. I really do. But unfortunately, we didn't get that.
Yeah, and which is
It's like
why I
it's
don't
like
want to like spend too much time belaboring that point because there's
it's
not
like a,
really
it's
a
like
purpose to it.
America, it's like the United States just kind of went through a phase. We were like, yeah, we're just gonna try this out, you know, off, you know, off hinged, wild, against the grain, leadership, and now it's like, okay, no, we need something sane. Think everyone's just tired.
Did you ever see the movie Supersize Me? Or at least familiar with what it is?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the concept. Isn't that a Michael Moore movie?
No, so this guy, his name is Morgan Spurlock, and he wrote,
Oh, okay.
directed, and he starred in it. So it was basically like a he was doing an experiment, and his experiment was, I'm going to eat nothing but McDonald's for like 30 days or something like that. And he would eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And there were all sorts of like Let me just double check and verify. So he has to consume every item on the McDonald's menu at least once over the course of 30 days, and he managed to do this in 9 days. He can only ingest items that are offered on McDonald's menu, including water. All outside consumption of food is prohibited, and he must supersize the meal when he's offered, but he cannot request to supersize the meal on his own. And this is when you are able to supersize food. So
Right.
this gives you some context. Anyway, all that detail to say, I think we wanted to supersize ourselves and have a diet of only McDonald's for 4 years, and we saw what that did.
Yeah. It
We
was a bad
became
habit.
very unhealthy. We realized like how terrible it is to continually ingest a diet of toxicity and toxic
Misinformation.
masculinity, disinformation, all sorts of things. And so that, I mean, it just kind of comments that you're what you do and what you consume is important. I know this is like a literal example,
Right.
but
Well, but
I think that's what we
it's
did with Trump.
topical.
We were just like, hey, let's see what happens when
It's
we do
topical.
something that's really awful for us for an
And
extended period of time.
now we are literally sick as shit as a nation.
Right. Yeah.
And we're yearning to get better.
Yep.
We gotta hit that treadmill and break out those veggies.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely crazy. But so what are some, I know we've kind of dwell a little bit on some of the things that maybe went awry, but what do you think is something that's kind of come out of COVID that, or I guess we're still in it, but something that has come about because of it or due to it that you think is important for us to keep around or keep in mind as far as how we interact with each other or just dynamics of the workplace or any of that? Do you have anything
I think
in mind?
the culture change that's gonna come about, it's like our culture is kind of repositions itself a little bit too, 'cause like we are so Americans. Oh, I almost lost my phone. Americans we're so like individualistic and independent and fiercely so. But I think this last year has kind of forced us to make a break in a lot of ways. And I think that we, on not just the local levels, but also the national level, have kind of like started linking arms with each other. And, I think that that's something that's come from COVID, like a kind of a sense of togetherness and community. Like we're in this together. We got this together. And sure, there's been lots of hiccups. I mean, there's plenty of people who are resistant to any kind of culture or old change, or resistant to, anything that we've tried to implement to help keep people safe. But I mean, those are outliers. I think on the whole. So I would hope that that's something that sticks around in the future, is our willingness to band together and overcome.
So how do you think we can get that to stick? Because I agree with you. I think that's been a bright spot in all of this is that there have been a lot of people that have come together and fed people that are homeless or are going through tough times, who have volunteered, who have just generally supported, checked on their neighbors and different things. But how do we make that sustainable? Because I know this is not a direct comparison, but like after 9/11 happened, we kind of banded together as a country, and I think we were more united from a hey, we I, it was
We're
from fighting a
attacked.
common enemy, essentially. So I think that
Right.
was easier for us to align. It was something outside of our country, but and it was tangible. But this whole thing, and then I feel like after that happened, it kind of regressed because then it became a polarizing issue. Like, well, we shouldn't have invaded Iraq, and we shouldn't have like went to see weapons of mass destruction because they weren't there, and all this kind of stuff. So I feel like there could be a ticking time clock, or time bomb for the effects
A
that we
similar
could
situation.
experience, but how do we keep the good things around?
Think that's honestly, that's up to individuals, and I think like the younger, I think that all the kids who are were in college or starting college or ending high school when this all was happening, or it really, I mean, think of all the kids who kind of like were forced to be home, or maybe they were happy. They were like, no school,
Yeah, I don't care
we
about
just
being
have to,
educated.
right? But I think the younger people, it's kind of on them whether it sticks or not. I f feel like there's a dim certain like demographics of our country that, you know, you're we're probably it, they're just gonna think the way they think, and then that's that. But I think it made a big impression on the younger generation,
Sure.
and I think that hopefully will show as they grow older and, you know, start having families and start being involved in politics and their local governments and stuff. But I think one thing that will keep it around is the fact that COVID isn't going away and probably never will. And we don't know. It might mutate into a different variant that becomes super deadly, or maybe God forbid, there's another pandemic of another variety. But I think, and unlike 9/11, COVID kind of hit everybody at home personally. You know, it was like a bunch of mini 9/11s all over
Yeah.
the world. So I hope that we don't forget, you know, what happened and the good that's ha come from it, and we kind of move forward on the right foot and stay there.
Yeah. I think you struck a chord with what you said about the next generation. The generation that's in their formative years living through this experience right now, I think there's a lot of control and power in being able to acknowledge, like, hey, this happened and it kind of changed the way that we live, and so we can keep those good things around and get rid of
I
the things
think
that we don't.
they're the like the group of people that I think were became almost the most frustrated from it too, because they were really in the least, they were in the position of least power.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, they weren't dying from it as much, but they were affected by it like psychologically and, you know, physically. I mean, think of like how many good times you have in school, or what kind of experiences you have, how you grow as a person socially and stuff, and then like just having that ripped away for a year, and you just kind of, you have to adapt.
Yeah.
I digress.
No,
I get we feel like I'm rambling.
I appreciate the digression. I think you have some good thoughts around this stuff. Yeah, I think we're at a good point. So, is there anything else that you want to talk about as far as just culturally what you think we should do, or any challenges you think we're going to face in the future based off of what we've experienced with COVID, or just any other final thoughts before we move on to the Be Kind?
I think it's gonna the big telling sign is gonna be the next round of like big the big next big round of elections on our country. You know, that'll definitely kind of tell us what the political and cultural climate is, but we're just gonna have to wait and see. But no, but past that, I really don't have any other thoughts. I mean, I do, but nothing else to share.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for sharing those thoughts. We'll take a brief break and then we'll be right back with the Be Kind.
Indeed.
His name is Jim, and he's got all of the thoughts in the world and caused a supernova.
Ryan's the best.
Well, we've got a very short and sweet Be Kind this week, and that is when you have your opportunity and you're up, go get vaccinated. It's one of the kindest things that you can do right now. Because there are people out there that are vulnerable in vulnerable positions. And if you can get vaccinated and do that, then you reduce other people's risk of getting sick. So, Jim, do you have anything else that you want to add?
Well, as someone who has gotten the vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, it's not bad. And honestly, even if it was the symptoms were 10 times as worse, I would still 100% without a doubt recommend getting it. You know, people get so like caught up in the discussion about, well, what's in it, or what can it do to my body, or like the things they're not telling us kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, you're probably going to harm your body more with one drinking bout of alcohol than you would getting a vaccine. So stop it. Go get vaccinated.
Go get vaccinated.
We're gonna find you, yo, Ryan's and I's. We're gonna be looking.
You'll wake up sleeping with the fishes.
Wake up in a smoothie.
All right, we'll be right back with the recommendation.
Ryan,
Yes.
full disclosure, like I don't think I have a recommendation. I've been trying to look for stuff while we've been making a podcast, and like nothing is coming to mind.
Oh, that's all good. Well, what's something that you've made recently that you want to share?
I haven't really been cooking.
Ah, Jen. How could you?
Like
Why don't you share?
I've been living unhealthily. Forgive me, Ryan.
How could you? How could you? Well, I can help you out this week. So last week I made a pretty good, it's basic, but a pretty decent
Pumpkin
teriyaki
spice
sauce
latte.
and a pumpkin spice latte.
Anyway, you said
So
teriyaki.
yeah, made a homemade teriyaki sauce, which is pretty tasty. You can really, the nice thing about teriyaki is you can put it with any protein, or you can do, if you want to go vegetarian, you can do it with just
How
vegetables.
dare you, Ryan?
Yeah. So I feel like rather than explain all the details about how to make the dish, I would focus more on the sauce because you can use it for a bunch of different things, put on salad or meat or veggies, whatever. It's pretty basic, pretty simple to make. You get mirin, which is a like sweet, I think it's a Japanese wine. It's a cooking wine. Soy sauce, sake, garlic, and ginger root. And to thicken the sauce, you do like some cornstarch with water, and you chop up the garlic and the ginger really fine. As mu and you just go to taste for the ginger and the garlic. I just used 2 cloves when I made the sauce last week of garlic, and then basically just like a hand of a ginger root, pretty finely chopped. And the hand is just that, like it looks like a hand, is why they call it that. I
It looks like my small hand
don't like
from
that guy
the
from
strong hand
Scary
scary movie
Movie.
too.
The other hand is too weak. And so yeah, you just
My
chop
germs.
both of those up. Very, that's actually something that you can say while you're cooking too. My germs. But don't use but stick your ginger hand of ginger root in your sleeve of your arm, and then like stick it in the pan, and then people anyway.
Gotta stuff the turkey.
Yeah, so with the ginger root, you peel it first. And then you finely chop it. Same with the ginger or the garlic, I mean. And you finely chop those. Toss them in a pan with a little bit of oil, and you just saute that. Kind of, I think it's called blooming the aromatics. So you just get everything to smell real good. You have to make sure that you're pretty consistently stirring it because you don't want the garlic to burn. And then you add in your mirin, your soy sauce, and sake. And as far as like what proportions you use, it's just equal parts. So however much or however little you want to make. I did a cup of each when I made it last week. So if you want to use that as a signpost for when you do it. And then you cook that, bring it to a light simmer. Just let the alcohol boil out. And then you add in your cornstarch slurry. If you've never made a cornstarch slurry, it's basically just a 1-to-2 ratio of cornstarch to water. So you do like 2 tablespoons of cornstarch to 4 tablespoons of water. And you just stir that in slowly. So you keep your simmer going. Thicken the sauce up, doing a little whisk. And then, yeah, you have a pretty good amount of sauce that you can use. And if you put it in a like a really tight container, like mason jar or something like that, and it's sealed well, you can store it up for 4 months. So it's a very durable, long-lasting sauce. And I mean, I think it tastes better than anything you can buy in the bottle. So yeah.
I have never tried homemade teriyaki before, and that sounds fantastic and much easier
It is very good.
than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan, thank you
So that's.
for coming through on the recommendation. I have failed you for the last time.
We are a team, so well, it is all good. Hopefully that's helpful to other people too. I had never tried homemade teriyaki sauce either until I ate it. So
I'm
the other thing
excited.
that you can do, you can mix and match vegetables too. So when I use chicken thighs, and kind of a cool way to use chicken thighs when you're making this is you get the bone in skin on chicken thighs. You debone the chicken thigh, trim some of the skin around so it you don't have excess skin hanging off of the chicken thigh. Season it, salt and pepper, and then you sear the skin side down from a cold pan to medium heat, and it renders a lot of that fat out. And so you get really crispy skin. Flip it over, cook it on the other side, crisp that side, and then you fry the vegetables in that rendered fat, and it's real good.
Music to my ears and
And
mouth.
it's a relatively inexpensive thing. I mean, granted, the mirin and the sake are probably the most expensive ingredients
You
because
can
if
get
you
a
don't
lot out
already
of
have
those
that on
bottles,
hand.
right?
The mirin, the kind that I bought, it came in a smaller bottle,
Oh,
and
yeah.
I have like a quarter of the bottle left after one use. So, but it's not expensive. It's just, but yeah, you can make a pretty substantial amount of food, and yeah, you could feed your family or yourself for a couple of days on
Heck
that.
yeah.
So yeah,
I think there's
food for
some
thought for your tummy.
homemade teriyaki is gonna come near in the future.
The near future, you'll have to let me know how it goes.
Will do.
Well, any other thoughts or comments before we wrap up for today?
Nope, I think we done did it.
We done did it. Sorry about the lag in our episodes, everybody. We had some
Yeah.
scheduling conflicts, and
Yeah, we're
we should should be back next week with a new episode. Oh, maybe it's this week.
This week. A newer episode.
Right.
All right. Cool. Well, thanks for joining.
Go get vaccinated and eat chicken teriyaki. Or
if you know what's good for you.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to it as much as Jim and I enjoy making it. If you'd like to subscribe, we will be sending out future content within the coming weeks, months, and years. So feel free to do that, and we'd love to have you around.
And Ryan, don't forget, we're on social media.
Oh, that's right. We are on Twitter at expandmind, be kind, and that is the letter B. And then we are also on Gmail. If you want to send us an email, it's expandyourmindandbekind@gmail.com.
Yeah, send us questions or any thoughts that anyone may have, and can't wait till the next episode.
Like Dr. Dre.